Hey there, and welcome back to Holding Space Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Cassidy Freitas. I'm so glad you're tuning in today. Before we get started, I am so thrilled to share with you that my book, Mom Needs a Moment, How to Stop Your Reaction Before It Starts and Become a Calmer, Happier, More Connected Parent, is out June 16th. If you're listening to this before June 16th, I have a few pre-order gifts for you, including the Parenting Pause Library. These are short audios that you can listen to, like having a therapist in your ear, in hard parenting moments. I'm talking, you just notice that you're feeling triggered, you're like feeling like you're about to snap, or also audios for when you already did and now you're kind of spiraling in that little pit of shame. I get it. I've been there. Maybe you're feeling overstimulated. Maybe your kid isn't listening. Maybe you just doom scrolled, or you feel like you're caring at all. No one notices. Whatever the case might be, these audios will be so supportive. If you're listening to this after June 16th, you can get Mom Needs a Moment wherever books are sold. I have poured everything into this book. A decade long of, you know, brain dumping in a Word document, and, you know, from my own experiences, my work with my clients and the moms that I work with, and finally got a chance to pull it all together and put it in this book. I don't have courses. Everything is in there. This is a parenting book for the parent side of things, working through and identifying your triggers, how to break cycles. You're consuming all this incredible parenting content, and then in the moment, you're still feeling super reactive, and you want to be present. You want to be connected to your kids, and it just feels really freaking hard. This book is for you. All right, I'm so glad you are tuning in today. I invited Dr. Pani Robinson onto the podcast. Dr. Robinson is a board-certified family practitioner with 22 years of experience and honestly one of the most refreshingly no-nonsense voices I've encountered on women's hormonal health. And today we are talking about perimenopause and hormone replacement therapy. I learned so much from Dr. Robinson. I could not wait to get this episode to you. So you are going to want to take notes, but don't worry, I'm going to create a Substack with all the notes in there. You are going to want to send this to your partner, to your friends. There are so many golden gems in this episode, literally everything that you need to know. Cannot wait. Let's get to it. You're listening to Holding Space Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Cassidy Freitas. I'm a mom to three and licensed marriage and family therapist. I'm really glad that you took the time to hold space for you by tuning in to today's episode. My hope with this podcast is to share conversations with experts from around the world and parents who've been through it so that maybe you feel a little less alone in your experiences and the messy side of being a parent and being a human, and so that you can walk away with supportive steps for what to do next. Listening to this episode is not a substitute for seeking support from a professional in your area. I believe that holding space and offering presence to both ourselves and others is truly one of the most meaningful ways that we can express care. And you are so deserving of that care. All right, are you ready? Let's dive in. Hello, Dr. Pani. I'm so excited to have this conversation. For the listener, Dr. Pani Robinson is someone that I met at a Postpartum Health Alliance training on maternal rage, which was an amazing training in and of itself. But you were on a panel talking about maternal rage and its relationship to perimenopause and menopause. And I was just eating up everything you said. And I was like, I must know her. I want her to be my doctor. I was like, you know, first things first, I need to share the love of your wisdom and knowledge on, you know, women's health and perimenopause and menopause and bring you on the podcast. So that's what we're here to do.
Oh my gosh, I'm so grateful for the opportunity, Cassidy. I was very excited when you reached out. You're like, hey, do you want to do this podcast? Yes, anytime I can talk about this, I'm going to talk about it. So I'm grateful for the opportunity and I'm looking forward to hopefully giving our ladies a little bit more information, even the men, if they can learn more about what their partners are going through, that would be amazing.
I am going to have my husband listen to this conversation when it goes live, 1,000%. Okay, so before we totally dive in, share a little bit about yourself and your background, and so folks can know a little bit more about who you are.
Yes, very happy to. So I'm Pawnee Robinson. I'm actually a board certified family practitioner, and I've been treating patients for 22 years from, as we say, the cradle to the grave. I go from birth up. And at some point in my practice, as I aged, my patients aged with me, right?
Oh, so yes. This is happening to me too.
We cannot avoid it.
I'm getting older and they are too. And we're all looking
exactly,
at each other like,
and it reminds me, I'm like, oh my gosh. Reminds me that I'm getting older, but it's amazing. So as I started treating them through their process and their transitions, well, I started going through it as well. And I don't think I really would have known what I was going through if I wasn't already treating people ahead of me. And so that really gave me the information I needed. And I thought, gosh, so many women have no clue. My own colleagues have no clue when they're going through it. And they'll literally be talking to me, asking me, like, you know, you're in perimenopause, right? Like, you got to get this treated. You know, the reason you don't want to hear your husband chew is because you need some progesterone, right?
So, oh my gosh.
Right? So it's so interesting, the whole process. So I actually went through perimenopause at the age of 40. It was crazy. And then I went to full menopause at the age of 45, which was obviously most people say that's super young. And the range of menopause is anywhere from 45 through 55, really. And the average age is about 51. So in your 40s, it's a little bit earlier. But you go through perimenopause like 10 years sooner. Some people go in their late 30s. So anyway, my practice started evolving into two practices. I had this hormone practice, and then I had just the general family medicine practice, which I still love very much. So I have both of them now. And people will say, well, why can't you do both in one? Well, there's some restrictions that we have in general medicine, right? And so there are things I do in my private practice based on that malpractice insurance that I can't quite do in this practice, even though I have an amazing group. You know, they have a malpractice insurance on me that has me a little bit more restricted to what the community standard is. But as I tell people, no one fits into the community standard because we are all snowflakes and no two people are on the same hormone regimen, right? Everyone's different. So that's the piece I had to kind of figure out in this process that allowed me to kind of be a little bit less handcuffed in doing the things I wanted to do.
Yes. And this is, I mean, so my mom had cancer in her uterus this past summer, had her uterus removed. She is cancer free at the moment. Right. All good things. But, you know, my grandmother had her uterus removed. My great grandmother had cancer in her uterus that spread and eventually was what she died from. And so I was like, I'm going to go and have someone look at my uterus, you know, and, you know, I talked to a gynecologist in, you know, here at the, you know, the healthcare system that I've typically gone to here in San Diego. And she was wonderful. And she told me, she's like, you know what, when I went through menopause, I gaslit myself. I just must not be, I don't know, strong enough to handle whatever this is, you know, because of, you know, again, just how limited training it sounds like you get, you know, in medical school, which is wild to me, because if a woman is, If a person with a uterus is, you know, fortunate enough to live long enough, they will go through this. And that's wild to me how limited the training is and support is and research is. And she said, like, now that she's gone through it, you know, she was gaslighting herself throughout it, but then got, you know, was like, wait, hold on, I need to learned more. But now the things that she was talking to me about, she was like, my colleagues would not agree with this and would roll their eyes at this or be like, really? You're like, the blood work looks fine and you're going to just, my gosh, believe her symptoms she's reporting to you and prescribe something like progesterone. So anyway, long story short, you described this at this training, how, why you have your private practice and what you're able to do there and why you do it that way, because you're not able to do it under a regular healthcare system. Yes. It's just, and I just think that women or anyone who is going to go through menopause needs to hear about this, because I learned so much from you on the 5 minutes that you spoke on that panel. And so please walk us through what's going on here. What is up with
totally.
This?
Yeah. I mean, so much. There's so much I want to walk you through. One, acknowledging that you made a really good comment that the training is very limited. It still is. The training is still so limited. Very much so. And I have had to go seek training out on my own.
Yes.
And continue to. And even to this day, I'll go to a training and I'll think, oh, I've been doing that one wrong. Let me call up these five people and make some adjustments. Right. I'm still learning, right?
But I love that. The humility to recognize, like, the research is still, we're still developing it. We're still learning. And like, as we're learning, let's be cutting edge. And cutting edge means being humble enough to say, I need to learn more, or I need to call up these folks and like make some adjustment.
Totally.
That's incredible.
Yeah, totally. And these were people, I mean, for example, I had just learned a lot more about polycystic ovarian syndrome, PCOS, which by the way, 80% of women don't have cysts in their ovaries and they're undiagnosed with it. But these are folks who tend to have a high risk of uterine cancer. They have a high family risk of uterine cancer because they tend to have their estrogen heavy, progesterone light. Mm-hmm. And I never really knew how to quite find that until about a year ago when I took some additional training. I thought, oh man, I learned that you can't put these women on estrogen when they're in perimenopause because they have a ton of it. And now you're giving them even more and they don't have enough progesterone and you're not giving them enough of that. And there's a balance there because that extra estrogen that causes the uterine cancer risk, right? And so these are the things I learned where I had to literally backtrack on a few of my patients, double check their labs and be like, oh my gosh, I missed that flip. So I'd call them up and say, hey, so the lab work we did 6 months ago, even though you're 48 and anyone else would just put you on a patch and a pill and call it a day, that's wrong. We got to stop the patch right away. You're in PCOS. You still have hormones for estrogen. Wow. Let's not take that and just do the progesterone because that increases your risk of uterine cancer. So these are the things we have to learn about as providers so that we're making good choices. And it's not as easy as my best friend is on a patch and a pill. And she said, all I need is a patch and a pill. That's not the case.
Like, right. Because she's feeling great, you know, and everyone's different.
Like, what do they really need? So, I mean, the medical community is amazing. They're doing a great job and it's coming along. Right. And so I think eventually and hopefully for someone like me, we get to merge those two practices where I can do everything I think I need to be doing for a woman within my regular practice. And I still do. I do push the envelope there.
Good.
But even then, they'll come and see me and they'll be like, I saw my gynecologist who's upstairs from you. And she was like, Dr. Robinson has you on double the dose of progesterone. Interesting. We don't go higher than 200 milligrams. I wonder why she would do that, right? So they are kind of still browbeating me. And I'm thinking, you can go up to 1200 milligrams, by the way. And so I'm thinking, my colleagues still have an eye on me, right? Like, why would she do it that way? I don't think she should. This is the upper limits, but no, it really isn't. So those are the challenges that providers have in a regular system, and we'll navigate those and make them better, but they do exist.
I wanted to name that first, right? Because I feel like we have to first name the system that we're talking about before we get into the information, education. And then what I really appreciated about what you did at that training was supported us as the attendees for what kind of questions can we ask? What can we be asking for? What can we be advocating for within the system? That is, it's going to get there, but we're not quite there yet. And I'm 40. Like, I need this stuff now, right? Like, to this information and this support. I don't want to white knuckle through like all of the generations before me, right? Knowing that that perimenopause has a huge impact on our physical health, our mental health, our relational health, all the things. And so, so we named the system that we're navigating, which is it's not quite there yet, right? Like, so we can't just blindly sometimes rely, right? We can still trust, but we want to ask questions, right? We want to go in prepared. Is what I want to say, right? Not to go in just like the healthcare system sucks and I can never trust it, but I want us to go in prepared and also finding providers that are trained in this, right? So that we're getting the best support that we can. So, that's the system that we're navigating. Now let's talk about just the education. Talk to me about perimenopause, menopause. What do you wish people knew that unfortunately the mass public oftentimes doesn't know?
100%. So to navigate that system is to have this information. You yeah. have to go into that system with this information. And that's what we're here to talk about today.
Yes.
What do you need to know so that you can help guide your medical team, right? Like you can say, hey, it's okay if you don't know much about this, but here's what's going on with me. And I'll tell you what it is. Now, either you're comfortable treating or you're going to send me to someone who is, right?
Yeah.
So this is what we want you to know. So perimenopause, let's talk about what it encompasses. Definition is when you've kind of ended your reproductive stage and now you're entering into this stage where the hormones are starting to shift. Mm-hmm. And they actually start shifting in your late reproductive stage where you can still have babies and get pregnant, but it's towards the end of that stage, usually towards your late 30s, early 40s or mid 40s. Is that okay. stage, that 10-year, and everyone's different, right? It's very genetic as well. So by the way, knowing when your mom went through it, if they have not had a hysterectomy, is helpful because it can guide you. I remember about a year ago, and my mom, she's very Middle Eastern, doesn't really talk about her health. And I was like, hey, mom, when did you go through menopause? She's like, oh, is that when you stop your period? I'm like, yeah. She's like, oh, I was 45. I'm like, you couldn't have told me that. I don't know, 10 years ago. So I would have known when it was coming for me. Like now all of a sudden you're willing to talk about it. You know, mind you, this was a woman who had like the birth control talk with me at the age of 26. I'm like, woman, I have my MD. That, and by the way, that ship has sailed a long time ago. You should have had that talk with me a while ago. Anyway, always late to the game, but at least I had an idea when she told me. So usually perimenopause can start about 10 years prior to menopause, roughly. So if you have an idea of when mom went through it, then yes. you may have an idea of your 10-year mark and when it starts.
Yeah.
So what does it look like? It'll look like initially it'll be very, very subtle. Your periods are unchanged. They're as they always are, but there's a mood shift or a mood disturbance right before. So you feel this deep, dark depression or this black cloud over you, maybe a day or two before, maybe during the cycle.
What it feels like for me is everything feels scratchier in my brain, right? Like
yes.
like you said earlier, like the way my husband chews, like when my kids are whining, the questions, like everything feels scratchier.
Yes, that's a great way to describe it. And sometimes foggier. And also people will describe it as, I just feel like I'm not present on earth. I feel like I'm in a cloud and I don't feel good and I just need to get out of it.
Yeah.
And then they'll have their period and they'll feel better. They'll just perk
it is
right
like,
up.
I will literally, my husband and I will joke about this. It's like the claws, I was in a grip of the claws. And then
yes.
it's like I was released from
yes.
that the grasp of those claws
that's
of my.
That's a very good way to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, that's 70% of women will have those symptoms. So
okay.
having that thought that I notice that once a month in a cyclical fashion is when I notice mood changes. And this is important for therapists, psychologists, and psychiatrists
yes.
to be aware of, right? If a patient says, you know what, I have really good weeks, and then there's like a dark few days or a dark week out of the month, we have to start thinking about that luteal phase, that last week before your cycle is about to start, and whether we're getting a dip in that progesterone and estrogen, mainly the progesterone.
I am instantly talking to my clients about their hormones at that moment, right? And it's, I think that there's this sort of piece of, you know, I know that like if my husband was to call out, hey, babe, are you like, is this a hormone thing going on? And like, and I usually am like, yes. And I just have less of a filter now. And this thing is really actually pissing me off. So don't just blame my hormones. But I'm instantly talking to my clients about hormones. We do have to actually name that piece, your hormonal cycle as part of whatever other cycles we're talking about, right? Their
totally.
Parenting trigger reactivity cycles, their partner cycles, the hormones do play a part, right? And not in a way where, oh, we're just going to blame it all on that. It's this linear thing. We just address that and all the other things do not need to be addressed, right?
Right.
But it plays this huge part. And I'm instantly talking to my clients about these things at that moment.
So that's important, right? Because we know that estrogen upregulates serotonin receptors, keeps serotonin around a little bit longer. And then the progesterone helps with the GABA receptors, which is like your calm hormones. And so, or calm.
Give me the progesterone.
so when you're dropping on those right before your cycle, you don't have the mental capacity to take on certain things. And so I would tell my husband, nah, you're catching me at a bad 2 days, buddy, to make some requests. And he's like, ooh, got it. Right. It's not a choice. I'm not choosing to have low capacity. I physically have low capacity because my hormones are physically low. They're physically low. If I had a broken arm, everyone would be like, wow, that arm is broken. So if I have low hormones, hormones are low. I'm not making it up. I'm not, it's crutch. It is low and it impacts my capacity to take on certain things. And so I think that piece is important. And with perimenopause, the actual definition is if your cycles are changed by 7 days, either they're too frequent by 7 days, like they're every 21 days, or they're out by 7 days, like they're every 35 days. But this is the thing. That doesn't happen for a while. And so if we're going to describe perimenopause as when you first see a menstrual change, we have missed like 3 years of it already.
Wow.
So I always tell people, yes, that's the black and white definition, but it actually occurs sooner than that. So be aware of that. Now, what does that mean? Do you need to be on hormones as soon as you get, you know, those?
Sure.
Not necessarily. One, it's just knowing that it's occurring so you can stop beating yourself up, right?
There is something so powerful about that. I had a recent podcast episode where we were talking about just the power of language, and it was actually related to like mess. And my guest, Katie Wells, who's a clutter expert, was like, there's expected mess versus clutter. And the minute I was like, wait, what is expected mess as it relates to just my home, right? And the minute I was able to name it as that, this is just part of what comes with like living with five people in a house and having children my age and being in this busy part of our life cycle, right? And then it had me thinking about expected mess in myself, right? Just in terms of, and not to call myself a mess, right? I had a friend recently be like, oh my gosh, I'm having a hot mess day. And I'm like, I think you're hot. And maybe you're hot because you're perimenopausal, right? But also, you're not a mess, right? Yeah. Like, but I do think that this language is helpful of just being like, there is some expected moments that are going to be, that you're going to feel like your brain is scratchier and it's going to feel harder to regulate yourself, right? And to be present, and you're going to feel foggier. And I think that, yes, there's like we're going to get to what the you know, treatments can be for this, but there is something so powerful about being able to name what's happening and not gaslighting ourselves into like, or shaming ourselves, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that's okay. And just knowing that and naming it and being aware of it is the best treatment, honestly, initially. And if it's very intolerable, where women are just significant PMDD, where they're having this premenopausal dysmorphic disorder, just really deep, dark depression, and it's not something that they can work through, those are the folks that you look at treating hormonally to help them not have such a dip right before their cycle. So it doesn't mean you have to have treatment, just recognizing it is good enough. And then when you're starting to experience other symptoms is when you know it may be time to start thinking about hormones.
Hey there. If you are a California, Nevada, or New York-based parent, we are accepting new clients. If you reach out to the link in the show notes, drcassidymft.com, you can learn more about my group private practice that supports millennial parents. If you're struggling with triggers as a parent, anxiety, relationships, boundaries, if you're trying to process a traumatic birth experience, or you're navigating fertility or pregnancy loss, we are here for you. If you are ready to take the next step in getting support with therapy, head to the link in the show notes, drcassidymft.com. Then click on the contact page and fill out that form. That is you sending an email directly to me. I will follow up with you and I will make sure that you will get connected with the right therapist in our group. And that's me included. We work with both individuals and couples. So if you are ready to take that next step, head to that link in the show notes. I am so excited to connect with you.
Now, I oftentimes will get people that will come to me and they'll say, well, can I just do supplements? I know someone who's on supplements. They see a provider that prescribes those, right? And I always say, look, in the end, when your hormones are on their way out, okay, there's no escaping that. And yeah. by the way, we're the only mammal that actually goes through menopause. There is not another mammal on Earth that goes through menopause.
Wow.
Not one.
I didn't know that.
Not one.
Wow.
They bleed until they die. We're the only ones that actually go through it. So there's not a lot of information on evolutionary-wise how this was dealt with because no one ever had to deal with it other than women.
And usually studies are done on animals, right?
Like, studies are always done on animals before they're brought onto a human model, right? And unfortunately, we don't really value women's health as much as we should to...
Or believe women when they tell us.
Totally.
And that's a lot of it is, right, symptom reporting, right?
Absolutely. And I think we end up chalking it up to, you've got three kiddos and you're trying to work and you've got a partner. That's why you're super tired and that's why you're really moody and that's why you're not sleeping too well. And that's probably why you're having hair loss and it's probably why you're getting weight gain. You're just not working out enough and not exercising and not eating well, right? All these things that I was guilty of saying about 15 years ago to women, which is what I was taught to say, right? And then I went through it and I couldn't have felt worse. This is still my biggest failure in medicine is that those are the things I used to say. And those are unfortunately the things that patients are still hearing. And we don't want that, right? So this is why I want you to know what these symptoms are so that no one ever tells you that it's in your control. So I'll get women that'll come and they're on, you know, supplements. And I always say, look, you're going to eventually need hormones. And there are so many beneficial effects of hormones. If you're trying to delay getting on them, you're delaying, number one, the inevitable. Number two, you're delaying the beneficial effects, which most of the time are actually seen in the early perimenopausal stage, right? Wow. Like once your ship is sailing and then you start something, you'll feel good. You'll feel better. That always happens. But there are underlying things you can't feel that matter, like decreasing the risk of uterine cancer if you're estrogen dominant and progesterone deficient, decreasing the risk of breast cancer, decreasing the risk of colon cancer, decreasing the risk of brain fog, which ends up being dementia. Folks with brain fog have the highest risk of dementia older when they get later on in life. Decreasing the risk of muscle mass loss. You lose 30% of your muscle mass in perimenopause. 30%, right?
Wow.
If this were men, I love them, but if this were men, there would have been a federal task force to fix it already.
Can you imagine? My gosh.
We would have had $1 billion investment in fixing this problem. But nevertheless,
if men bled, there needs to be a documentary or like a movie on that. Like if men bled, how would the world actually look different?
How would the world, that would be a great documentary actually. It'd be very, very complex. So, you know, I always tell people, I think you can always try and do some supplements initially, but if you're starting to see some significant symptoms, we're losing hormones here. And the only way to get them back is to give you hormones because we don't want those hormones to be missing from the brain. We don't want them to be missing from the joints. We don't want them to be missing from the muscle, from the gut. People will have stomach issues, irritable bowel syndrome. How many people get that diagnosis? You're just anxious and you have irritable bowel syndrome. No, we have 50% receptors of estrogen in our gut and 20% of progesterone in our gut. How about that? You know, how about the fact that it's hormones, right? As opposed to like gaslighting women and being like, "Mom, go meditate." Which, by the way, meditation is amazing, and you really should.
I love it. But like, we have to look at this whole picture,
you
right?
Do.
Like,
you really do.
And this is what I tell my clients. You know, if they have like a thyroid issue, right? And we are here doing some like beautiful, deep like trauma work, understanding their triggers and developing a new relationship with anxiety and all these tools. And their thyroid is messed up, right? Like,
yes,
that's still going to be there. So we
it's
have
still gonna
to,
be there.
I am 1000% with you. We have to look at this whole picture holistically, the whole system.
You really, really do. You got to look at the whole system. And then we have to stop being worried and scared about hormones. We had them in our 20s and we were doing very well then. And if we can get those levels back to that, you will still feel better. And hormones, bioidentical hormones given in perimenopause, they are a tenth of a dose of birth control.
And I know. That's wild to me. I remember you saying that at this training and I was like, wait, hold on. So everybody's okay giving
willy-nilly. Everyone gets birth control. I have 50-year-olds on birth control. Willy-nilly. No trouble.
but not this.
No, not bioidentical hormones. Like, do you really need it? How much are you suffering? Are you having any hot flashes? Are you, you know what? No, I'm having zero symptoms. I just don't want to get breast cancer, colon cancer, dementia. I'm going to start hormones, right?
I mean, I have so much to say about that of just like, and obviously there's plenty of folks who also have a lot of strong opinions about birth control one way or another. The idea that like, oh, we'll give you something so that you can, I mean, for a lot of reasons, I don't know. Yes. I don't even want to go there, but I have a lot of things to say about that. Wild to me how disrespected aging women are in our society is
totally,
what I'll say.
100%. Yeah. And that's really, unfortunately, what we see. And again, it's shifting because I think the women are becoming more and more educated on this process. And they're like, I don't think I'm going to accept that answer.
Yeah.
And they push back. And I think that's what we have to do. And as gracefully as we can, I tell people, you know, watch out for these symptoms of mood changes that are cyclical, dry skin, hair loss, weight gain around the belly, that belly fat that we see, that visceral fat, hair growth on the chin. Now we're seeing hair growth here.
I got mine right here.
Yes.
I've got these little hairs here from my, well, some hair, but at least the hair's growing back, but there was
at
some
least
hair
it's growing
loss.
Back, which is a good sign.
It's a good sign. But yeah. The itchy ears and the
itchy
frozen,
ears
shoulder,
is another
the frozen
one.
Shoulder. Yeah.
These frozen are, shoulder, mm-hmm. joint pains in general. I mean, I'll tell you, there are people that will be diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis at the age of 50, multiple sclerosis, all these neurological conditions, which are neuroinflammatory issues or autoimmune conditions that are joint inflammation. And guess what? These are estrogen deficient women who should have been on estrogen, which could have potentially prevented this, right?
Wow.
And so those are the things we'll think about, right? So the earlier, the more preventative we are. Palpitations. I mean, I've had people who have seen me for palpitations. They've had $1 million workup on their heart. Everything's totally normal. They're like, well, why am I having palpitations? It's your hormones, your cardiac
receptors.
You know what's
so funny? You haven't even named hot flashes. And like, that's all like hot flashes and belly fat, I feel like, are the two things that have gotten the most airtime.
Yes.
But this is like, and which are real things, right?
Yes.
But like, you're naming so many other pieces here that
yes,
I think are
right?
so
These
important.
These are the important pieces. Brain fog, fatigue. I had a woman who was so low in testosterone and, you know, no one's going to check that in regular system medicine, right? They're like, we don't really do blood work. You're just having symptoms. Let's put you on estrogen, progesterone. She was on estrogen, progesterone, felt super miserable still. And when I worked her up, I was like, you've got no testosterone either. And by the way, your estrogen is super low dosed. And anyway, we put her on testosterone. This woman was like, and normal again. Like she woke up again and she
oh
was
gosh.
Back on. So significant fatigue, libido changes.
Yeah.
Vaginal dryness, painful intercourse. No one wants to talk about that. And it's many, many women go through it. So these are the things that are important. And of course, it impacts their marriage. I had someone reach out to me that said her husband says that she just isn't attracted to him anymore. And the vaginal dryness is coming from her lack of attraction.
Mm. Yeah.
And so how little the partners know about this process, right? And and she was in tears. And I said, look, we're going to fix this. Number one, we can fix this. This is treatable. But number two, you got to remind him that has nothing to do with him.
Right. And that's why we need therapists and we need all the providers to be listening to this conversation episode, because these are pieces that are so, so important, right? When it comes to whether you're doing individual work, trauma work, supporting somebody navigating their own health or the healthcare system, couples work, parenting. I mean, what did someone call it recently? Like cougar puberty?
Yes.
Which I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that, but it's fine. A lot of hormones bouncing around for me. I have a 14-year-old who is also, there's just hormones bouncing all over the house, right?
Yes.
And so in order to support families, really, right, we need you and me.
Yes.
There needs to be collaboration, right,
totally.
On both ends.
Yeah. This is a multi-disciplinary approach, right? This is the important piece. There's a reason why the age of 45 is the most miserable time for a woman on average, and also the number one age for divorces. And so this is important because you can't just replace hormones and call it a day. This is very much multidisciplinary. I always tell my patients this. I go, hey, listen, you need to have a good therapist. You need to also make sure
I'm referring to you. You're referring to me.
Everyone needs to be involved.
Everyone. And the person you're working with has to really understand this and is doing the cutting edge research, like, because what we thought we knew is not it.
Yep. Absolutely. I usually will have them even see a nutritionist. And what are we doing on that front to really support a healthy body? They usually are doing personal training. Like, this is a total body effect, right? Urinary tract infections, recurrent urinary tract infections is a sign of vaginal dryness, needing more vaginal estrogen. Cystic acne. I will see those women that are like, I just turned 40 and I'm getting cystic acne. It's your hormones, right?
Both my daughter and I walking around with our little pimple patches.
Right,
now.
Little pimples, right? So those are all the uncommon symptoms that folks don't really talk about. Because, of course, we say that menopause is, or perimenopause is, like hot flashes, night sweats. But you actually don't get hot flashes for many. Some do. But for most women, they actually don't get it until they skip a cycle for 2 to 3 months in a row.
Wow.
Where their estrogen has really dropped. But you go through perimenopause when your progesterone drops first. The estrogen comes far later. So if we're waiting for just estrogen to drop, then we're waiting way too long, right?
Then you've been in it. Like, you've been in it, like, thinking that there's something wrong with you, gaslighting yourself or feeling shame for all of these symptoms.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So how can a listener take this information and take it to their doctors, or like, what are they asking for? What are they advocating for? What kind of questions, right, are they needing to ask? And then how do you find a good provider who actually can really support this?
That's a great question. Usually the primary care physician will either know someone who does hormone management in their medical group, or they are comfortable enough to do hormone management, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So either way, it's always good to touch base with your primary care provider first. And you'll say, hey, I've been experiencing these symptoms. For example, I've been experiencing dizziness. I've been experiencing dry skin. I've been experiencing mood disturbance or mood changes around my cycle. And I have a feeling that I'm in some of the earliest phases of perimenopause. Initially, I was tolerating it well, but I actually think I might need some intervention. So is this something you're comfortable managing? Or do we need to send me to someone who is, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a great place to start.
Great.
And that kind of puts the ball in the court of the doctor, where you've given them the out, right? You don't have to say, sometimes physicians, which is unfortunate, won't admit if they don't know something. Mm-hmm. They'll just shoo you off. Like, you're fine. You're still having periods. How about you don't know what you're talking about, right? And so, And so it would be nice if we had insight, but we don't have insight sometimes to what we don't know. So if you give them that out, here's what I'm experiencing. Here's what it is. Do you have comfort with this? If not, totally cool. Send me to someone who does, right?
Yes.
Puts them in a better position to get what they need.
Great. Great. Okay. And talk to me about, like, blood work, or, right, like, are we asking for blood work? Are we trusting all providers to interpret the blood work accurately? What are we asking for?
It's a great question. If you have cycles that are greater than 28 days apart, blood work tends to really help give us an idea of where you're at. I like to use blood work to rule out polycystic ovarian syndrome because it changes how I treat someone. I don't put them on estrogen if they have PCOS.
Right.
But the problem is, not very many physicians are familiar with that. They don't know how to find PCOS on blood work. So if you are someone who has cycles that are 28 days or less and you're in perimenopause and you ask for blood work to be done, your physician may not know how to interpret it, and they might just say, everything looks good, right? Mm-hmm. So I always say, if it's less than 28 days of a cycle, 28 days or less, you would have to really have a provider who is familiar with blood work interpretation in someone who's in peri. Because the truth is, the labs change every day, every day.
Yeah.
Your estrogen today could be 40 and tomorrow be 300. And when I look at a blood test, I look at the day it was drawn on their cycle. Was it around day 19, which tells me where their luteal phase is? I'm really looking at progesterone there because estrogen's all over the place if they're having cycles. So I'm looking at around day 19. I want to know where we're at with the progesterone level. And then that helps me decide whether they need progesterone support. And I'll tell you, for me, I like their levels to be above 10. The reference range will be like anywhere from 0.5 to 30 is normal. I'm like, that's great.
So
we're
helpful.
Looking at 10 or above. And okay. That's someone whose progesterone is looking good. That's how I'll interpret it. And that's in general for anyone who's on progesterone therapy. Their level should be above 10. So if you're asking for someone to do blood work, they'll be able to interpret it much easier if you're having cycles that are greater than 28 days. But if you're having them less than 28 days, you're going to have a doctor who is PCOS informed and knows how to do those interpretations. So you're not going to have an easier time finding those folks. So what happens is you need to settle for someone who is not comfortable with interpreting blood work, but they're happy enough to start you on some hormones, right? And so it's like, what is the bare minimum to start on if they're happy enough to do something? You're going to ask for 100 milligrams of progesterone.
Okay.
And you'll ask for the lowest dose of estrogen. But if you're having cycles that are 28 days or less, you may not need estrogen at all. You might just need progesterone only. We don't want to make you estrogen heavy. Right. If you're having cycles greater than 28 days, let's say they're 35 days, let's say they're every 40 days, you'll benefit from a little bit of estrogen in addition to that progesterone. The progesterone is a constant. That isn't always. Even if you have an IUD, even if you don't have a uterus, you need progesterone. It is not just for uterine protection. You have receptors from head to toe that want progesterone. Please don't ever let anyone tell you that you don't have a uterus and you don't need one for uterine protection. You have an IUD in, so you are getting progesterone. No, you're not. You're getting progesterone delivered only to the uterus. That progesterone is locally acting. It is not going to the brain. You're still going to have emotional issues.
Yeah. My gosh. Thank you so much for just going there with like what we're asking for, what kind of numbers. And it makes me so sad that you're also having to say like, okay, if somebody's comfortable enough, right, that we just have to like settle with enough. And you know what? I'm okay with that. I think enoughness, as long as we are informed and we can go in and we can advocate and we're heard and not hurt and not gaslit, then we can do this, right?
And we can do
this. We can keep also folks like you and me can keep spreading the news so that there's actually big change, systems level change, so that our daughters or our children who have uteruses can one day also receive better care, where it's not just settling, but it's like you can rely on more quality care that's just informed and research backed. This has been amazing. Any last messages that you would share with a listener who is hearing this and they're like, this is me or this is coming up? Any last messages that you want to share with them?
Yeah. I mean, the most important piece for me is one, understanding what those symptoms are. Two, if you have them, acknowledge them, embrace them, know these are your symptoms. Three, if you're ready for hormone replacement therapy, you are going to be kind of your own doctor and your own advocate at this point, right? So you're going to push for it. You're going to go to your provider and you're going to push for it. Four, you're going to tell them what you want. You're just going to ask for it. You're going to say, I want 100 milligrams of progesterone. I still have cycles less than 28 days, so I'm cool on the estrogen. I don't need that yet, thank you. But we'll go ahead and start with the progesterone, right? So you're going to drive your treatment. And then five, if you feel like they're not sure what they're doing, let's see if we can get you someone who's maybe well-versed in hormones. And I'll tell you, there are online places. At worst, you've got online places that can assist, right? We know Midi Health is out there. Mm. We know people are in private practice that do this, right? So you can find people who do this and that can assist you. It's just sometimes it's a little bit tricky. And then six, I don't ever want anyone to be taken advantage of. This is very important. We're in a very vulnerable situation. And if your doctor isn't getting you what you need, you need to make sure that you're not finding someone in private practice who is looking to take advantage of this vulnerability. I don't want them selling you a red light sauna saying it's going to help with the joint pains for $7,000. Mm. No joke. That's one of my patients that went through this before she found me. Right? I'm like, how about estrogen on a 55-year-old? Like a red light sauna, like $7,000 when we could have put her on a $10 drug. It was insane, right? Insanity what people are willing to do. And this was a provider who's in private practice making money off of $500 supplements, $1,500 peptides, and red light sauna. Like a full-fledged, like, you know, 8-foot tall sauna in the house, right?
Wow.
So it's got to make sense, right? Sure. It's got to make sense. So I need the women out there to think about that and say, if I'm missing hormones, someone needs to give me what I'm missing. I don't need $500 peptides or supplements. Peptides are a whole different talk. Yeah. There's some utility to them, but they're not hormones, right? And I don't need to be upsold on things I don't need to be upsold on. So just this is someone you need to find, make sure the provider has your best interest in mind. It cannot be about the finances, because really good doctors went into medicine to be really good doctors. Mm. That's the important piece to know. If it's, or that sounds like a factory mill, or it seems like it's a money-making machine, that's exactly what it is.
Mm. Thank you for naming that. And for those who are based in San Diego, we're so lucky we have you. Where can people find you?
So my clinic is Next Phase Clinic, and you can find me at nextphaseclinic.com. I always do 20-minute free consults on phone. So there are people that will just want to know where they're at, and they can just book through that. You can literally pick a spot on my, you know, on my calendar, and we'll chat on the phone for 20 minutes and go through your health history. I'll give you my thoughts. It's just what I do. You don't have to see me. You do not have to be a part of my practice. Again, I'm always there to educate. So easy enough to do.
I love this. I am so grateful to you for being here. Oh my gosh, I hope that every single person, whoever you are, partner or person who knows that this will be something that you navigate, I hope that you're tuning in and share this with your partners too. This has been amazing. I will share your information in the show notes so folks can go directly there to find you. This was great. I'm so grateful to know you, and thank you so much for taking the time today to educate us.
Thank you so much, Dr. Cassidy. My pleasure to be here.
I hope you enjoyed that episode. If you did, you might want to hit that subscribe button to be the first to know when future episodes air. And go and explore some of those past episodes. Maybe there's a topic in there that you've really been wanting to learn more about. You can learn more about my private practice as well as my parenting courses and workshops at the link in the show notes. You held space for yourself today. You carved out the time and you tuned in to this episode. I hope you take a moment to honor how meaningful that is. Yes, to me for sure, but also for you. Thank you for tuning in, and I'll catch you next time.